Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Taco Bell eating Kevin Tinkin, Jane Fawcett, who's not eating Taco Bell, and Sarah, who's enjoying herself some Subway.
What? I wish I had some Subway here.
Welcome back to the Spoutcast, guys. Kevin, this is a new kind of record, dude. Two in a row.
No.
How's things? Good to be here, huh?
I haven't eaten in 3 days.
Chowing down on some T-Bell.
Just so I can get here.
I got a lot of positive feedback, P.S., from our last episode. Just about people wanted to know about the Define a Man, kind of like what was the process of that, and they really enjoyed listening to Jesse talk about that. So if you haven't listened to episode 97, do that. We are on episode 98, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh. And what should we do for the 100th?
Well, we know we got a special guest, a very special guest coming on the show.
Can we listen to 98 Degrees today?
You promised somebody.
You didn't tell me you're booking somebody. That's my job.
Okay. I think I may have hurt someone's feelings today, but
mine?
No.
Well, by doing my job?
I wanted PJ on the show and we had talked to him a while ago, but I guess someone had talked to Layla. Was that you?
I don't think so.
I think Layla tell you what happened to me one time.
What?
I was at the North Campus and this guy comes up to me. He's like, "Hey man, it's my first time here. I just really want to get connected to some people that love the Lord." And I was like, "Oh, no problem. Let me show you over here." Jane went over here, came up to me, punched me in the face. Punched me right in the face. I fell on the ground. She grabbed his hand. She said, "Stop trying to do my job." It was scary. I was scared.
Do you remember this, Jane?
I must have blacked out afterwards.
Well, we'll figure out a guest for episode 100. I'm excited, though. I was talking with Jeff Richmond about it today. I feel like we've been doing the show for almost 2 years, which is a big deal, I think.
Because I think we passed the two-year mark. Yeah,
I think we've passed the two-year mark, which is a huge, huge deal in my opinion. So we've got another good show for you today, episode 98. We will talk about Generations, 1 Kings, and 2 Chronicles. First singing, Second Chronicles.
First singing, Second Chronicles.
Sorry.
This is awesome.
And we will also interview Sam Hart, who is our new worship leader here at the Well, at the Clovis campus specifically. So stay tuned for that interview. We will also close out the show, but it is good to be back kind of in the Generation series.
Yes,
so,
it is good.
Looking forward to talking about that. Yep. Kevin, glad you're around. Glad you went to church on Sunday, huh?
Me too.
All right. What's the music?
Matthew Perryman Jones.
Ah, and this is what Carl said to me. He's like, "I know that person. He was on Grey's Anatomy. That's how he got popular." That's what Carl said.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, I guess that's how he got his popularity.
Yeah, Matthew Perry.
I didn't hear from him from Grey's Anatomy.
I showed you Matthew Perryman Jones.
He sounds good. So enjoy some Matthew Perryman Jones and stay tuned for some sermon discussion.
Oh my love, help me open up my heart again. Tear it open, let the rain fall in. Wash this hardness underneath my skin. Oh my love, let me hear your voice come through. I wanna know the love inside of. Make this dark heart believe in what is true. I know that in the dark there's a fear of letting go. I know it in my heart that I fear what I don't know.
That's what it's all about. The irony to me, of course, is it could be argued that there was not a more successful man in all of your Bible. But he succeeded at all the wrong things. And his legacy is one that we just shake our heads, don't we? We go, "You had it all, kid. You had wisdom. You had the favor of God. You had the authority and the power and the position and the prestige to reshape everything. But you couldn't control your flesh. And because of that, it ate you." And we read your story and we shake our head in disappointment and go, "Dang, that close to being something absolutely magnificent." How about you?
Every time Kevin reads First Kings, he goes, "You almost had it, kid." That's what he says every time, right?
every time.
Well, this past week's sermon was from First Kings.
I always read it at sunset.
What?
And I walk away with the Bible.
Oh,
and a ball in my hand. You almost had it, kid.
You almost had it, kid.
And sad music plays as I walk away.
So First Kings was kind of the majority of the sermon, but
majority being like all but 30 seconds that he gave to Second Chronicles at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. He did give a little nudge to Second Chronicles. He mentioned it again sort of at the end as well. But he really, for the most part, talked about, I guess, almost the first 11 chapters of First Kings for a while, then kind of went through a couple of the prophets, talked about Elijah, and then touched on Elisha, and then kind of went back to kind of summarizing Solomon's life. And that's a fair summary of kind of what he talked about. And one of the things that you kind of get the sense of even in that clip is that Solomon is this great guy. He's got all this stuff. He's got everything working for him. And, you know, we even read about Solomon in the first four or five chapters. You're like, this guy seems legit. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we had like church about, we need to be wise like Solomon was wise, you know? And I remember seeing the flannel graph of like the mothers with the baby and, you know, what should I do with this baby? Should I cut it in half? And
backstory always confused me because they said he used his wisdom. He's so wise.
He uses sarcasm.
And like, I never thought of that as like a big wise thing for him to like propose that. Like,
yeah.
Well, let's cut it in half.
Well, he didn't have the intention to cut it in half.
No, I know, but the woman was really stupid to say yes.
Though, because it wasn't her son.
I know, but that's so stupid. Why would you say yes?
Because she didn't care. Because
she was dumb.
She was lying that it was her
son. She was a dumb lady in the Bible, and it happened.
I'm with you. Like when
that doesn't
you talk
sound
about,
like, oh my gosh, he had the most wisdom in the world. He just thought of that scenario. Well, look at that.
That's just one example.
I know.
But I feel like that is the only example we oftentimes hear about Solomon's wisdom. You know, you hear about Solomon's wisdom.
Is it okay that I have this opinion?
Yeah.
I think what may have happened is who wrote that part?
What?
About him being so wise? Like maybe he just there was a general air of him being wise. And then somebody's like, you should put down an example of like how wise he was. He's like, I can't really think of anything.
Like, remember that one time?
Remember the baby thing? Yeah, I don't know if that's the best example. Let me, you know what? I'm just going to do the baby thing. Is that cool? Yeah, no, I think it shows his character.
Well, I think that's, you know what's funny is I was thinking the same, not the same exact thing when I was reading through it, but it's kind of like, when you grow up in church, that's really one of the only stories besides the temple in Solomon. You connect Solomon with either the temple, with his wives, or with this baby chopping in half thing. Yeah. And that's the one where you go, oh, Solomon's so wise because of that. And if I were to say, ask somebody just even after hearing Sunday's sermon, you go, what was the most wise thing Solomon did? They would go, well, he did something with the babies and they chopped in half. But
well, and the fact that he writes Song of Solomon, which we focus so much on in relationships, then he had 1,000 wives.
Right.
Like, of course he has an opinion about women because he kind of.
Yeah.
I think
talk about mountains. You know, talk about mountains when you got a lady around. Just talk about the mountains. You know what I mean? She'll know what you're talking about.
What?
That's how Solomon.
All the other conversations that are happening in the room while someone is writing Solomon.
The reference in Song of Solomon.
I'm with you.
I was going to say.
Get on board.
I feel like his wisdom is shown like in 1,000 different other areas. Like the fact that he even asked for wisdom for like, you can have anything. What do you want? He asked for wisdom. I think that shows a lot. And Ecclesiastes, like I feel like that shows his heart and his wisdom more than the baby story. But you know what? It's fine. I didn't write it. So
no, I'm tracking with you, Sarah. Okay. And one of the things that this is a brand new thought that I feel like I've read through 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles a couple times, and I've never had the thought that Brad brought up of God never tells Solomon to build the temple.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a new thought. It was David that really said, you need to build this temple. And You know, even looking back to Moses and then building this tent this for worship and God saying, here's the dimensions, here's what I want, here's what this should be, and then come the temple, it's like, well, this is what David would have wanted, or this is what Solomon thinks is best. And really, like, it's kind of this weird thought that I never have really had reading through 1 Kings of maybe God didn't really want this temple, but Solomon just thought, I'm going to build this temple. You know, was that a first thought you guys, I mean, has that thought ever been shared with you guys before, or this is a first time for you as well?
I've heard it before.
Yeah, I think it's the first time for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first time for me for sure.
That was just an interesting take on it. I kind of almost want to read through Nehemiah now and go, I wonder if God wanted this wall, like if God instructed Nehemiah with this wall. I think he did.
Yeah. Well, there was so many hurdles and like doors that got opened for Nehemiah that, right, I feel like he had to have
his hand in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I noticed in 1 Kings, and Brad touched on it, and kind of this was how he summed up his sermon a little bit, is like Solomon, I feel like, just started off so good, like just loving the Lord and just had this great relationship with God. And then all of a sudden bring these wives in, and it's just like his, at the end of his life, you just get this picture. He was so distant from God, mm-hmm, so distracted from his relationship with
God. Controlled by his flesh.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And it's just one of those things where you just see a guy just start so high on God, want to do everything that's right by God, building this temple, I want to worship God. And you even see him like say, like, God, there, worship God, don't worship any other gods. And then just a few chapters later, all of a sudden he's worshiping other gods because he's, mm-hmm, distracted. And have you guys heard that worship song where it's like, my flesh may fail, my God, you never will. You know, yeah, it's just this, yeah, perfect example of like Solomon's flesh just slowly, mm-hmm, failing, yet, mm-hmm, God prevails. And you even read through the rest of 1 Kings and it's just king after king who's just failing, 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 failing. And, but God still prevails. God still remains. And that's one of the things I got out of it. But I think this idea of idolatry and being distracted from God is a huge theme, I think, that came up in the book, mm-hmm, a lot. Mm-hmm. You're right there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Did you guys see that theme a lot? I know Brad sort of mentioned that.
Yeah, because he talked a lot about worshiping in the high places and, yeah, like doing good, but still going back to those high places. And I think that shows a lot, even in our own lives, of how we can build idols and from the outside look like we're following Christ so well, but like in our lives we're like giving time to things that aren't what Christ is calling us to pursue.
And it started out with a little compromise.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then it grew bigger and bigger, and then it overtook him.
Started, yeah, out with just 700 wives, and then it went,
yeah,
to...
Yeah, and then 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what were you going to say?
Nope.
Oh. It was one of those things where, like, I just had this thought after hearing it of just, like, what distracts me from God? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that is distracted from God? And last night we talked to the high school kids just about stress and how they've got so much going on in their lives that God is not the center of their lives. And God is maybe third or fourth behind sports and school and friends. And it's just these things, these little, what was the word you just used?
Idols?
Distractions?
Someone listening is going to have a freak out.
I know, the just little, you let a little bit in at a time.
Compromises.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all just I can little... think of is correspondences. And that's not the word.
Yeah, little compromises just slowly but surely distract you further and further from God. And it's like there's been moments in my life where I will feel distant from God, mm-hmm, and I'll be able to look, like see the paper trail of, oh, this is what led me to this, mm-hmm, spot, you know, yeah, just distraction after distraction. And for Solomon, it was clearly women. But for me, it could be fantasy sports, or it could be, my job, you know, just, mm-hmm, I'm so bogged down in something going on in the job that I forget to just like spend time with God or whatever that may be. And you just get the sense that Solomon was just so distracted by not only women, but just being rich, being powerful, that he just over time, God slowly became number two, number three, and then eventually just was distant, mm-hmm, you know? And the only other thought I had was like, I do not understand this. Like, we don't live in a time where we worship other gods, you know what I mean? But this concept of foreign gods, it just would seem so out there.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you feel that way?
Yes. That's always the thing. He's got 1,000 ladies, Rhett, just around. That's bad enough. But like, it's just like, that's public. If me and you are going to screw up in sin-wise, we're not going to put a banner up. You know what I mean? We're not going to do it on the roof of the house.
Sure.
When he screws up, he's like, we're going to build a big old cow for everybody. Okay.
That cow, like, idol.
It's like, really, dude?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder.
Like, he has to be so blinded, like, that he just thinks this is normal.
Had to be baby steps. Like, there had to be some guy who gave him, you know, a little.
Well, because each one of these women came with their god that their city worshipped.
So it was easy for him just to create his own.
Mm-hmm. But it seems.
Because that was so modern then.
It seems so out there that you would just have this relationship with God and then, oh, well, maybe this god is pretty good and maybe this god is pretty good.
I think it shows, though, that, like, the voids that we don't fill with Christ, even now we fill with something else, like a relationship, like money, like things or whatever. And like, those in a sense are us building a cow to worship. Like,
sure.
We just do it in different ways. So maybe like building a cow to worship or whatever was totally normal.
Right. Yeah.
Because they had like that god Molech or whatever that they sacrificed babies to and things like that. So it seems like maybe that was more regular then.
Sure. I think it's just a foreign concept to me. And so it's hard to grasp. You know, even now, there's not that mindset of like there's hundreds and if not thousands of different gods. You know, it's you're believe in God or you don't. And so, or, you know, you believe in Allah, you know, and that's kind of the three options you have.
And if you had some other random god, it wouldn't, I don't think there'd be much credibility. People are like, oh, well, you probably just made that up.
Yeah, there's no traction to that religion. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like, I mean, every different woman he was with, in a sense, had their own god and had their own thing that he was distracted with. And it's just like, you just see him so power hungry. Just each woman he was with meant he now shared a part of like their country that they were from. And you're just like, man, how do you go from one end to the next? And I'm curious as how he's going to, I mean, you just have this, after this First Kings mess, you just have this sour note in your mouth about Solomon. And then Brad, who's taught Song of Solomon hundreds of times, how's he going to go, yeah, but he wrote this really good book in the Bible, so you should trust what he says. Trust his judgment because it's really good in this next book. Mm-hmm. You know, we usually hear the Song of Solomon sermons and we never get the Solomon was like a guy who definitely was distracted.
Totally.
You know, and so how can you trust this book in the Bible?
This isn't the only woman that he's wooing right now.
Yeah.
Right? Well, yeah. I mean, you would assume that that's probably
could have been all different
some
women.
Other woman on the regular too.
Yeah.
And I wonder how long he was like this. Like, I wonder if this was like a season of his life where he had all this stuff, but then by the end of his life, like he finished well, like he wrote Proverbs and he wrote Ecclesiastes and like he, maybe this is all in his youth.
Well,
you know?
He said, Brad, I mean, he was pretty clear about at the end of his life being just like, I blew it. You know,
well, that's when he wrote Ecclesiastes. Like, this is all rubbish. This is all, like, meaningless.
Right, but what I'm saying is we don't, obviously, we in this room, we know Ecclesiastes, we know Proverbs, we know Song of Solomon, but if we were to just hear Solomon's life and just see that, I would come to church the following week and be like, I'm not going to trust this guy one bit.
Yeah,
you know, this guy's a dirtbag, and
trust Solomon.
Solomon.
Yeah,
you know, because you don't have the picture of anything else besides First Kings. That's your first picture of him.
Yeah,
Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon don't come till later. You know, and so you're like, this guy just. But the reality is we are maybe not to the extreme, but we're not too different than Solomon. We easily become distracted, and we put everything before God
and
sometimes.
And we're just not on display like Solomon was. Yeah.
I think, though, it could be hopeful for some people to see where Solomon came and then to then later see his progress and to see who he ended up being.
Totally.
Because I feel like that's probably a story for most people of like, I was a dirtbag and now the Lord, like, got a hold of my heart and here I am now.
Yeah.
So
this is a little off, but because Brad will talk about his life before Christ and how he like, you know, did all stuff. I went to lunch today with someone from my old church, and her and her husband knew Brad in high school. Mm. And she said, it is so interesting to see him now and how like back then her and her now husband, they were trying to start like Youth for Christ clubs on campus and stuff. It's just like, you know, Brad wouldn't have anything to do with that. And now it's so cool to see how the Lord's really changed him.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's the only Brad I know is 20 years ago, Brad. And it's so interesting. Right. Weird to see him up there.
Yeah.
So anyways,
yeah. I think similar to Solomon, I'm sure there were people like the guy I knew was the Thousand Wives Club guy, you know? And
I think this could be a good example for, you know, kind of don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Cause think about how we treat Christian leaders who've fallen.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. As in general, we do, well, now they're nothing. Now that guy, you know, he was caught with a prostitute or whatever. So now nobody, you know, learn anything from that person. It's all bad. Well, maybe he never believed.
Yeah.
You know, people say it's like, what? You know, and I think this is a good book to say, look, there's still value in what bad people who screwed up have done in the past.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little.
It's really true, especially the whole maybe he was never a Christian.
Yeah.
Like, that, oh, whoa, that's what? The worst. Let him who's never sinned cast the first stone, buddy. Right. Like, if you knew, like, what?
It's such a cultural thing for the 21st century or whatever century we're living in, but it's like.
What are we in?
I think it's not 21st anymore. I don't know. But the reality is that, pastor or not, somebody who's a pop star and they fall, we as a whole world go, you're the worst. How could you be a example to our youth? And you're like, geez, you know, like cut some people some slack. And we do that with Christian leaders all the time. Mm-hmm. Even in Fresno, you know, I've heard different stories of pastors that have fallen or whatever. And then it's like, they have to move because it's so bad, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't condone anything that they do, but you would hope that, you would give him the same kind of grace that I think a lot of people gave Solomon in the end of his life. So
restoration and grace. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think like dude built a altar. Like he literally like it was just out in public and just very, you know what I'm saying? Like there's no, it doesn't get worse than that. And then the moment somebody, like I remember in high school telling my like pastors being like, man, yeah, he says this, you know, Jerry doesn't go to church anymore. He says he's not sure if he believes in God anymore. He's like, well, he probably never believed.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Solomon literally built a Joseph Smith statue in his front yard. And we're still like, no, he had a lot of good stuff to say, a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
And he's with the Lord. You know what I mean? So it's just like,
totally.
Yeah.
We got to learn.
I think Solomon's legacy, though, like if you were to just a new kid in church, you know, you, for the most part, you don't hear about Solomon's downfall growing up. You hear about the good things that Solomon did. You hear about Solomon as a whole doing a lot of good things, you know, the wisdom of him. You never really hear the stories of like, you kind of, when you're in Sunday school, you hear about the bad guys in the Bible and you hear about the heroes in the Bible. And I feel like Solomon through the test of time is kind of, kids would look at, oh, he's done some good stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was interesting. One of the things Brad mentioned and, I had something to say in regards to Solomon. And his wives, just the thought of like, how do you get to that point of like being okay with 1,000 wives? You know, it's just Brad said, he said some joke of like 700 wives. And I'm not kidding about that. You know, every time I read.
Oh, isn't that a little excessive?
Yeah. I always just think, wow, you know, like four seems nuts, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's that show on TLC about the guy who's married like four wives and you're like, this is way too much. It's too much going on. And it's like 700. How do you keep track of that? So
yeah, you probably don't.
Exactly. Well, stay tuned because next week I think we are talking about Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs maybe. I could be wrong. Yeah.
No, I think you're right.
So Generation Series continues, and I am continuing to love it more and more just to get an overview. Just even the thoughts of Solomon and the temple, maybe that wasn't from God, is just a new thought. And so if you've read your Bible before and you're like, I've already heard all this kind of stuff, I swear new thoughts will come up all the time as we walk through this series. So stay tuned for next week and we will be right back with our interview with Sam Hart, our Clovis campus worship leader.
You were once a boy in tattered jeans, skin dark by the sun. Eyes so wide and deep with reckless dreams to carry you along.
All right, welcome back. We are here with, I actually don't know if I know your last name, Sam Hart. Yes?
Nailed so it. You do know his last name.
But yeah. I was a little nervous on that one. I could have said anything, but I said Sam Hart. Is it spelled like heart or no?
No, it's spelled by like the deer, like the old deer, the English.
H-A-R-T.
Okay, H-A-R-T. We'll make sure we get that correct in our notes for the show. Sam, what is your...
Because it's incorrect right now.
I might be typo. It might be incorrect on our notes for the show, but what is your official title here at the well?
Music guy.
Oh, good. Music guy slash Clovis. And so if you were to go to the Clovis
it's not
camp.
Slash Clovis.
It's
I mean, I either play a musical instrument or I am the city of Clovis. either or.
So he's music guy at Clovis. At
music
fine.
Guy at Clovis. And so if you've gone to the Clovis campus, you Woo-hoo. Would have seen Sam. However, I feel like you've also led other. Have you ever led at midweek before or no?
Yes.
And then you did the Good Friday service as well, correct?
I played.
You did it.
You also read.
Dude, I pulled out my Sean Connery.
Oh, you did, yeah. Huh?
Did you read every reading part? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Now, if you're confused, if you've ever seen a guy on the stage with a beard, you may think it's Dom, but however, it is not Dom.
If and he's wearing a hat,
that's
it's
the
Sam.
Distinct difference is that Sam wears a hat. And not just like
I'm
a
the less socially inept one.
Well, we'll see at the end of the show, you know. So how are you liking the well so far? How's things going?
It's good.
Yeah?
I've been to a few services now.
How many weekends have you played regularly on a Sunday?
How many weekends before you can tell if it's regular?
Okay.
Two.
How many have you played so far?
This Three. Was my third Sunday.
Okay.
And do you like, do you
and
like
two
keep,
midweeks.
Do you like keep it regular?
I do.
Now, from a kind of maybe give some people your background. How did you get to the well? I remember meeting you like a year ago or maybe a year and a half ago. And I don't really necessarily know your story, but this is a great venue to maybe share that for people who just see you lead worship on a Sunday. So what kind of the journey from wherever you're from to here? How did that all occur?
I grew up in San Diego.
Okay.
And went to a concert when I was 7 and thought, I want to do that.
Do you remember the concert?
I do. But no one would know who it is, so I'm not going to mention it. Sarah would know who it is.
Oh, really?
Oh, go ahead.
It was a guy named Dallas Holm.
Okay. I've heard that
name before. Up there with Gaither Brothers?
No.
Oh.
Oh, this was like an old Christian thing?
Yeah.
Or like Billy?
Basically, he invented Christian music.
Oh, he did?
Okay, him and like 5 other people.
And DC Talk?
No, DC Talk wasn't born when he was like 10 years
old. Oh, wow. Yeah. So you saw this concert when you were 7. You're like, I must do this.
Yep.
Okay.
So my mom bought me a drum set, like one of those like 80s Mickey Mouse ears ones.
Okay. I've seen those at Costco still.
Really?
They're like little baby ones. Yeah.
I'll be right back. I'm going to go get it. I started writing music to like the demos that came with it. So I just turn on a demo and it'd be like some weird samba beat and I'd write whatever. At
You'd
10
write
years old.
Like lyrics That's awesome. To it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I decided I should learn how to play something. And
besides drums.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even play them. I just listened to the demos.
Do you know how to play drums or?
More or less.
Okay.
I mean, it's better to let the guys like the other guys do it.
But. Yeah. Kevin knows how
Kevin
to play
plays drums.
Yeah. Kevin's mediocre at drums. He's he's less than good at
Can
drums.
Can you show us real quick?
Yep. No. All right. So what
20-minute drum solo. That's all I asked for. Finally, the moment's come. What's episode 90-something?
98, so.
Wow.
Maybe we'll let you have that 30-second drum solo on episode
Can it be the intro and outro of the next show?
That would be nice.
It's going to be very worshipful. I'm going to give you a heads up.
Oh, good.
I had a buddy who always wanted to, instead of doing worship, he wanted the pastor to come out and say, we're going to do worship today. And like just double kick going and like just Ooh. Crazy electric drums, screamo. And
really?
But, yeah, we wanted to do that. It never actually physically happened.
Maybe Sam can bring it to Clovis.
Warship, W-A-R.
They wouldn't even know what to do with it.
Josh Martin would be all about that.
Oh, for sure.
Now, you, so you picked up an instrument. What was your first instrument you started playing?
Guitar, karaoke. Okay. Machine was my first one. And then, then guitar and keys. And then
just
and
went from
I
there.
Ended up at the well one day.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how it works
out. And I woke up and here I am.
I was at the last place on staff for 8 years. I met my wife there. And,
okay.
So.
What was the last place you were at? Was it a church in San Diego or? Okay.
East County, San Diego. So.
Was it the Rock town. Where Dom was at or a totally different
no.
church? Okay.
No.
Latter-day
I've been
Saints.
To the Rock once. It was this little Mormon church. No one would have heard of
and
it.
Then he converted and came to the well.
So what?
I'm here to try to convert the well.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, slowly.
Now, is this church different than the well or?
No, it's actually a lot like it.
A pretty similar
I'm
church.
I'm finding, yeah.
Yeah. So what was the draw to make you come from San Diego to Fresno if the church is the same and
I mean, the weather is so much better here. Come on.
Well, yeah, what? Dom told me like, dude, you should move here. It's really beautiful. And
tell me that's
the
not
air
what
is really
said.
Clean. Like no one here gets allergies.
Yeah, you
you'll probably be healthier, and your kids will live longer.
Ah, yes.
And so I said, I'm in. I got here, and I've been sick ever since. Yeah. And I haven't seen a hill.
Well, yeah, the hills the hills will show up eventually.
I went to Woodward Park, and then I saw a hill.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Now, so yeah. So what was the draw?
Long story short, it was just literally one of those God things where. Mm. He kicked us through the door and we had no choice. So
you are going to Fresno.
Yeah.
Cause I remember you came out, a year and a half ago or whatever, and I think you were interviewing for the same thing or
pretty much.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where you came to the office, everyone was like we all liked you. I think Dom was pretty pumped on you. And then the next week, Carl's in the office. You know, so it was like something happened.
Slime ball Carl.
Yeah. And just Well, but I mean, did something happen then, or it's just it was what it was?
No, it just turned out we weren't ready to come up, and I never thought I would. I mean, I was still friends with Dom, but I never thought the well would come up again.
Gotcha.
And God kind of just told us last summer, like, we felt like we're supposed to be gone, like we're supposed to move on. Then all of a sudden, we started getting calls. We were about to plant a church with a guy in San Diego, downtown, and then Dom called us like right in the middle of that. Yeah.
So you guys just decided let's do this.
Yeah, we were stoked on the church plant, and then, you know, as we were diving into it, all of a sudden we started feeling hesitant.
Sure.
And then Dom called, and within like a month we were here.
Now, like 6 weeks later we were here. You and Dom were friends in San Diego, I'm assuming. Were your wives friends? Like was that were you guys in a not at all?
No.
So how's she adapting here to Fresno?
She's adapting.
She's getting there.
She found her favorite, you know, Indian food place, donut place.
What's her favorite donut place?
Yeah, we know donuts.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So let us tell you what the best.
Wait, no. Let's hear what his is first.
What your wife's favorite donut place?
It's just the place across the street from our apartment. So it's called Judy's, I think.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. It's like next to the East meets West Chinese place.
Yeah, they're fine.
Judy's is you know, it is what it is. Judy's is Judy's.
One day you need to take her to Maple and Herndon. A place called K&C Donuts, particularly on a weekend because they have maple bacon bars.
They only make their donuts every weekend, so
well,
they're fresher.
Well, only on the weekends do they have the maple bacon bars.
Yeah.
K&C is,
K&C's the best.
Bomb. It's just
the
right
best.
Down the road from here.
Bacon. What is it? What do we got?
Maple bacon bar.
By where?
K&C Donuts on
Maple
like
and Herndon. It sounds like the $6 donut.
Maple and Herndon. Are they open
Let me
now?
Say this about right K&C now? Donuts.
Can I get one with avocado?
Yes. They are the cheapest donuts in town I've found as well. So
and they're the most delicious.
Now,
they do creative kinds, so they'll have like double dipped glaze. They have chocolate white twisted together. They have blueberry crumb, regular.
They're also a Mexican pastry shop. They're run by a Mexican family, and in the mornings they have breakfast burritos.
They're a great, great place.
And really good apple fritters.
We're, as you can tell, we're big
really
fans.
Really good apple fritters.
Okay. So
what's your wife's?
I want to experience the place that's like the best bagel place in town that also makes Thai food.
Oh, Fresno Bagel.
This is what I've been hearing about.
Oh, okay.
It's on First
The blogs
and
are on
knees.
Fire.
Yeah, they have really
first
good pad knees. Thai.
The pad Thai isn't super spicy, though. You got to get
Cash
it spiced
only.
Up.
Cash only.
One of those.
What's your favorite Indian food?
It's a shell company, I see.
Have you tried the... You said you have a favorite Indian restaurant?
Okay, I think I misspoke.
Oh.
You found
did I say Indian?
You found an Indian restaurant that you don't like, right?
That's true.
What was that?
Okay. I don't even know the name of it, and I don't even know if it has a name. It technically doesn't exist, but it exists.
Gotcha. Ooh.
It's one of those... It was someone's like 11 o'clock, and it was like the only one open. Someone's house that you just like knocked on their door? It's like a spices shop. And they sell Bollywood. Like, they have a whole wall of Bollywood.
Ooh.
What's that expression? Ooh. Want to get your Indian music video
just,
on?
You just went in there like, hey, I need some food? Or
yeah, and I asked for a menu. They didn't have one. She pointed behind her and said something that I couldn't understand. And everything. I asked for certain things on the... whatever was on the wall.
Right.
They didn't have it, half of that stuff. So
tell color and
I was just like, can you just go in the back and make me something you have and I'll take it home? She said, okay.
That's good.
So, but what we ate, just don't go there. The place, the unnamed place that doesn't exist.
Well, see, people want to go because they don't know the name of the place. There's some, I mean, I have found over the years being here, because we moved from Santa Cruz, is that there are really good restaurants out here. They're just, Fresno's such a big city that they're hard to find in some senses. So you got to ask around, what's the good places?
I gather that. I've spent a couple hours on Yelp trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Seems like you either love it or hate it here. There's not a lot of in between.
And it's no one who's in between will write a review. It's only the extremes, I love it or I hate it, that write reviews.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a good point.
Because no one writes reviews saying, it was okay.
50-50.
They only write saying, I hate it or love it.
Now, as you've been here about a month now, 2 months maybe?
A month.
What had, like, one positive thing about Fresno? That you're like, hey, this is great. This is a good positive thing.
Have you had anyone actually say a positive thing before?
Oh, I love Fresno.
Well, see, when I moved here, it took me about a year and a half to say anything positive.
It just sounds like you're trying to get me to say something no one else has ever said.
No, I'm just asking, hey, what's a positive thing that's come out of Fresno?
Like, I'll reach for it kind of thing?
Yeah, reach for it.
No, actually, I really like it.
Yeah?
I mean, yeah, it's fine. Other than the allergies.
Yeah. Do you have kids or? Great.
Yeah, I have three kids.
Three kids. Mm-hmm. How they doing with the adjustment?
They break down at least once daily because they miss their fam back home. But
sure. Mm-hmm.
Then they get over it. They're kids.
Yeah. Now, how old are they?
5, 3, and 7 months.
Oh,
the 7-month old is teething.
So that's why he's breaking down.
So yeah, there's
you gotta
there's
get him one of those
request.
Jeffries. Yeah. You know the
giraffe.
Jeffrey Giraffe. What am I, crazy?
Jeffrey's also a term for a drug.
Oh,
why get him to the Greek.
Why do teething babies need Jeffrey's?
Give him a Jeffrey.
I guess you chew on it. Don't they make necklaces too that are supposed to
help? He was trying
to
help with the teething.
Yeah, I was trying to help with the teething thing.
Just knock him out.
Does your 5-year old, is she going to start kindergarten or?
Yeah, we moved in right across the street from Liberty Hill.
Okay.
That's where she'll go.
Sarah and I have a friend who teaches first grade at Liberty Hill.
Yes. First grade?
Yeah.
Where is Liberty Hill?
Liberty's a...
it's like close to Champlain. It's Champlain.
Liberty is
Liberty
where Brad's
Hill.
Kids go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Liberty Hill is what, the elementary school or
no,
the
Liberty
preschool?
Hill's is, no, it's just the street.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. And so when will she start? Or she already started?
No, she'll start in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just so you know, well, everyone knows Clovis campus has loved having Sam there. It's such a great feel and you've done such a great job, like a really cool pastoral presence and,
thank you.
Like, yeah, everyone's really loved having Sam there.
When you came out, to do like you sang at a midweek service kind of, I think in your interview process, there's a guy in my life group who was like, dude, who was the guy that led worship on Wednesday night? And he's a big Karen Price. Have you met her? She works in the office.
She's our creative director.
Her husband was the one that said that. And she was pumped on you, or he was pumped on you. And so, nothing but positive reviews from our standpoint here. Jane may have a different story, but
she's a tough sell.
She's
50-50.
You should
just come to the North Campus.
Yeah.
Because that's where I am.
Oh.
Are you going to be doing midweek?
All
you got
to do is go to midweek. And
yeah, so are you doing midweek every week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. Do you like midweek? Midweek's a totally different vibe than Clovis campus.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like the people. I mean, I've only been to two, but
yeah,
I like the people.
We had a really good conversation yesterday, reliving all of the early Christian 90s musicians like Steve Green, Keith Green, very different, but Newsboys.
We should just, too bad we can't have some callers like just throw out names. And then we could just say the whole life story of these people, their whole career.
Yeah, we might be able to list their discography.
Yeah, but I should be embarrassed about that.
You're amongst good company.
I feel like Carl would be great in this room because anytime you mention like a 90s band, he's always like, yeah, no, I was their guitar tech. I played with that band. No, 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 we went on tour together. That was good times. I'm like, dude.
I used to do Twyla Paris's hair.
Yeah.
We talked about her yesterday.
Well, hey, Sam, I'm excited that you're on staff, dude. I think it's great that you just felt like, hey, God, you're pushing us to Fresno and you guys accepted it. And I think that's exciting. And Clovis Camp Campus is, I think, so blessed to have you. You're a talented musician. Even I, who is not the world's, I'm not a huge worship guy. All right, I think you're very good. And,
it's okay. We respect people that don't love Jesus. It's fine.
Yeah, it's I.
It's good.
We're praying for him.
I know.
It's weird that you say that when you're married to Lacey.
Yeah,
maybe that's why
Christian's relationship with the Lord is purely corporate. All right, it's purely.
I'm honestly the worst husband when it comes to my wife's like voice in a sense, because she'll start singing in the house and I go, could you, you know, not sing?
I know this is my household. My dad always
be recounted by your children
it's
in pretty a psychologist's bad. Office someday.
My poor wife.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is how not to be a godly
yeah,
husband.
Exactly. Well, hey, Sam, thanks for coming on. Hopefully we'll get you back on the show after a year and we'll ask, hey, how's Fresno been after a year? So,
thank you.
And you'll be sneezing and I'll be inhaler sneezing. In your hand. And all of the above.
You'll be in an iron lung.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks again. And stay tuned as we close out the show and enjoy some more music.
Something's in the air, empty as smoke that won't clear. Lonely bar, filled up car, where you disappear. Secrets are a stain that mess up your mind, but we love to play. Take your time, waste your time. Life slips away. Oh, what do you want to hear? What do you want? Oh, where can you go? Where can you go?
Welcome back to the Spoutcast. Thank you for joining us. Today we had a great show talking about the life of Solomon and interviewing our new friend Sam Hart. We are so glad that you've listened today.
I think we lost all of our listeners.
Why? Why? It's funny.
No, it's terrible.
It's so great. Today's going to be a balmy 73 degrees with partly cloudy skies coming into the evening. It's going to be chilly, folks.
Lacey listens to this show or watches a show called New Life to Live, and it's like this Christian radio show, and there's a lady that sounds just like that.
Really?
So,
yeah, she'll do it.
Dave Johnson is saying, do the princess. What does that mean?
But yesterday in the green room, I did all my voices for people.
Got
did
lots
you
of
do
voices,
Britney
Sarah?
Spears? I didn't do Britney Spears. I was going to say that one. But I talked about doing Dave's voicemail as a princess, a sarcastic princess.
Oh.
And
how does that sound?
Something like, hello, thank you for calling Dave Johnson's voicemail. Wait,
commit. That's like, that sounds like an automated message.
Hi, thank you for calling. I can't come to the phone right now because I'm doing the dishes because my dirty husband is watching football and drinking a beer again. Hope you're having a great day. I won't. Bye bye.
Oh my gosh.
What's Britney Spears?
Oh man.
No, Dave's not the dirty husband. I was just making up for Britney. Have I never done Britney Spears for you?
I never heard the Britney Spears.
Why would that be on Dave's voicemail?
I don't know. That's totally, it was a separate conversation, but same voice I was going to do for his voicemail.
What's the Britney Spears one?
Oops, I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends, friends. Oh, baby, it might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me.
Wow,
oh, baby,
Sarah.
Baby, oops.
Did you ever see Britney Spears live in concert?
No, I'd love to, though.
I saw her live and...
your throat.
I grew up in I grew up in the era of like Britney Spears was like the teen. Like if you were a guy, you had a crush on Britney Spears.
She was the best.
And I went to her concert and it felt like as a 12-year-old, like this is heaven. There's nothing greater. And I remember going to see her movie Crossroads and being one of two people in the movie theater and just thinking, this is the greatest moment of my entire life. That's like so just a 13-year-old kid just loving Britney Spears. So still a fan even today. You know?
She's entertaining.
The rabbit hole goes deeper for old Christian Moore.
Maybe we'll get her music on the show one of these weeks. I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
I'm not a girl.
We're doing it.
Not yet a woman.
Sarah will. Oh, I'll just sing them all.
Do covers. She's so lucky.
That is hands down the best Britney Spears
lucky?
Song.
Lucky?
Yeah. That is absolutely. Hands down the best.
Oh, well, that one and Stronger.
Nah, I don't know. I'll go with Lucky. Well,
I'm sad that this conversation is being recorded.
Hey, man, you are the voices. You said commit, Kevin. You said commit.
You got to commit.
I committed.
Sarah, you got a great three set, piece for your SNL audition. You know,
there
you,
we go. That's
you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some pretty brutal SNL auditions, and I think that you might get a chuckle out of Lorne Michaels. So.
I might get a chuckle. All right.
Yeah,
he doesn't laugh very often.
He's
a tough sell. Yeah.
So outside of Britney Spears and newscasters, we got a couple of things on our website. One of these days, we're going to get somebody in here.
Ooh, transition. A little bumpy.
I'm the king of transitions, all right?
Yeah.
One of these days, we'll get somebody in here to talk about our impact campaign. But if you don't or you're unfamiliar with it, go to the website because there's some details about a swap meet that's coming up, which is very exciting.
May 4th. You
May
can
4th.
Reserve parking stalls and any of your earnings can go directly to impact.
Sarah's going to be sitting at a booth just doing voiceovers like for your voicemail, and she's going to charge $5 for every voicemail that she leaves on your phone.
Absolutely.
Would you do that?
I was telling Dave yesterday, I would love to do voiceovers.
I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but there used to be a service for like comedians that like you'd pay a comedian $10, $20, $30 and they would leave a voicemail on your phone as like the comedian and do like a funny voice or
SpongeBob did that too.
Yeah.
Like call Bob, and sing you happy birthday.
Bobcat Goldthwait, who's like, was a comedian in like the 80s, 90s. Like he has this voice that he always does, or Dana Gould. And they have these voices that they would do. And then they would leave a voicemail from your house and people would be like, oh, that's so funny. And they never do that anymore.
Speaking of voicemail, the church also has a phone.
They do. You kill everything, Kevin. You literally, everything, it starts. You just decide, I'm going to just step right on everything. Is that what you want to do?
3, 2, 6,
I have that
5, 1,
written
0, 0.
On my license plate cover.
I step on everybody's stories, life, and everything.
Wow, this escalated quickly.
All right.
You step on my life.
I'm a life stepper. I've also have been referred to as a hot stepper. Word or up. I'm a lyrical gangster.
Oh, gosh.
All right, this is The Spout.
And thank God we're out.
I hold a photograph. I get lost in the way it was. It's like a treasure map to all I've had. I found you.